Amen. Are you awake? Excellent. Please turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And we're going to talk about two stories that are familiar and you may not have known that they were unique to Luke, which makes you wonder who Luke talked to get these stories in his careful investigation of Jesus that he's talking to Theophilus about in the Luke Acts series, right? But let's do a little review. Jesus has been to the Mount of Transfiguration. We had Peter, James, and John up there. We had Moses, Elijah, and Jesus up there. And when the cloud came and it cleared up, there was only one. And God said, listen to him. This is my son. Listen to him. And so Jesus, from that point, is starting towards Jerusalem to do what we need him to do. And there's this kind of theme that goes on about what's really important, because Jesus doesn't have a whole lot of time to talk to these people anymore. So he says, when they argue about who's the greatest, he says, hey, listen, it's important that you have the attitude of a child, that you can listen to me. And when the 72 went out and they came back and they were all excited about all the good things that happened, he said, that's great, but the important thing is your name is written in the book of life. That's the important thing. And so we have him going from village to village, and we have him meeting people on the way. And in Luke chapter 10, we have this parable, we have this teacher of the law, an expert of the law. He probably wasn't a local. He probably came to visit Jesus because he's heard about all the things going on. Maybe he was. Maybe he lived in one of those little villages and he was a local. But it says here in verse 25, read with me, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. When was the last time you were tested? Yeah, don't you love tests? Whether it's, you know, the eye test when you get your license renewed, or not, or whether it's just the test where you get a license renewed, or any kind of test. People ask me how old my boys are. I always feel like it's a test. You know? Okay, so he stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He wants to live forever. He wants to be with God forever. And he's testing Jesus. Is there a right answer and a wrong answer? Usually there are in tests, right? Jesus is being tested. In verse 26, he says, what is written in the law? He replied, this is Jesus. How do you read it? Now, I have to tell you, Luke does this completely different than in the Bible study. This last week, we looked at Mark's account of this, okay? In Mark, Jesus answered this question. In Luke, he turns the question and says, okay, what do you think the answer is? And here's what the expert of the law says in verse 27. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. That is the first commandment. That is the one that they learned to say when they were young men in Hebrew. It is the Shema. It starts out, listen. Listen, O Israel. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. And they all knew this from childhood. But there's a second part to this question, this answer. He says, and love your neighbor as yourself. In Mark, the man asked Jesus, what must I do? What's the greatest commandment is what he asked of them. And he's answered the Shema, but he says, and like it is love your neighbor as yourself. So Luke's got this a little bit different. And he's going to tell a parable afterwards. So he's setting up this parable. He says verse 28, says, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Now, this is what Jesus said, that all the law and the prophets are summed up here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All of the stuff in the Old Testament summed up there. And this guy got this, and Jesus says, you're right, you're right. Just do that. But the guy didn't want to leave it alone there. He wanted that clarification that teachers of the law or people who deal with law like. They like clarity. They like to cut things finely and say, where does that start and where does that stop? So he says here, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who do I have to love? Don't argue. Don't argue with the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. That okay. But this loving my neighbor, okay, who do I have to love? Who is my neighbor? What are the boundaries to this? How far can I go and not step over the boundaries? How can I condense that to just figure out who do I have to love? In the video we saw, I said we like our missions overseas. You know, who is our neighbor? Good question. Jesus is going to answer the question with a parable. And we see Jesus do this a lot. He's going to tell a story they can relate to that has a spiritual meaning, right? And we call this the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we have heard this since we were young, and we've seen little bumper stickers, people as Good Samaritans or, you know, Good Samaritan Society or something, you know, people that do good for other people, right? And we all admire that. But let's think about what Jesus is answering here. Who is my neighbor? Who do I love? So here's the story. It says that. And by the way, how did Luke know that he wanted to justify himself? I like to think that maybe it's this person that Luke got to talk to about this situation. And he just told Luke and says, hey, I just wanted to justify myself, and I ask this. And he tells this parable. So here it is. Okay. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And that is definitely downhill, by the way. Okay. When they went up from Jericho to Jerusalem, they used to sing the songs of ascent as they were going up. In altitude, yeah. And, you know, the higher you go, the harder it is to sing, if you know much about altitude. He says, they were going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. And they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Yeah. How do you determine somebody's half dead? What if they're 55% dead? Is that less than half dead? At any rate, he was in bad shape, okay? He was in seriously bad shape. He could not take care of himself. So here he is, without clothes, without money, on the side of the road, which is trail, and needing help. Okay. A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Now, what do we know about the priest? Well, we know he's Jewish, right? Is the victim Jewish? Doesn't say. He's going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. We just kind of assume he's Jewish, right? But we have a Levite. He's a priest. He is supposed to represent people to God. He's supposed to be a spiritual person. Is he going up to Jerusalem? No, the word is down. So this isn't like, oh, if I touch this person then I can't serve because I would be unclean because he's bleeding. No, he's going home from his duties. And he says that he passed by on the other side. So too, I'm sorry, this is a priest, okay. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So you've got somebody who's actually served in the temple, somebody from a specific branch of the Levites who can serve in the temple, and then you got just a Levite. They both did the same thing. They didn't touch the man. He says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins, 2 denarii, day's wage, and he gave them to the innkeeper. He said, look after him, he said, and when I return, he planned to come back, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Wow. This is the guy that the victim needed, right? I mean, he could have bandaged him and left him there on the side of the road and say, hey, I hope you get better. Hope your day goes better. No, he put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn, stayed at the inn with him, taking care of. The man is half dead. When he left the next day, was he 70% dead or 30% dead? I don't know, he's getting better, but he's got to go. So he leaves money and says, please take care of him. I'm coming back. And I will reimburse anything you need. Let's get this guy back to health. Nice story, huh? Now, the point is, the man's a Samaritan. You caught that. What have we seen in Samaria recently? Remember the village that wouldn't take Jesus? And James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven? Right? Because they really love Samaritans. And they think they're worthy of Jesus' time and energy. Now, this is a long-standing dispute. Now, to think that Theophilus understands this. I'm sorry, Mike, I've moved that around. I got loud again, sorry. To think that Theophilus understands this is asking too much. It's like saying that you understand what it means to be in Ireland and how you feel about the English from North Ireland. Do you understand that? Maybe a little bit, right? There's no way Theophilus understood this. Boy, that really got loud. I am so sorry. This thing's moving around on me. And poor Mike's trying to keep you guys from going deaf. Okay. Sorry out there in the podcast world, too. You guys have a volume also. Okay. So Theophilus didn't understand it. We don't understand this. I did some studying about Samaritan because I thought that I had it all figured out with Samaria. You know, we know the northern kingdom, they got taken away by the Syrians and other people got brought in and they learned how to worship Yahweh in Samaria, where they'd had their own temple at Mount Gerizim. If you remember the woman at the well, that is not in Luke, Matthew, or Mark, that's in the Gospel of John, and she was talking to Jesus about this age-old argument about do we worship here, do we worship in Jerusalem, right? And these people in Samaria, they believed in Yahweh. They had their own Torah. They had their own 5 books of the law. They had their own prophets too, but it was a little bit different, and they just thought that David made a mistake with the whole Jerusalem thing. That's what they thought. Do you know there's still Samaritans today? I know, this was fascinating. I found out about it. It's about 2,000 in a minority religion in Israel. They still worship in the same area of Gerizim. They still do animal sacrifice once a year. And of course, the Jewish people can't do that because the temple is gone. Right? They're still around. They still think that they are worshiping God the way they should be. But there's this strife between the two of them. And it went deep, 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 deep. So, did Theophilus understand that? Probably not. Did Jesus' original readers or hearers understand that? Yeah. Did the person, the teacher of the law, did they understand that? Yes. Would they have helped somebody they thought was a Samaritan that was on the side of the road? No, probably not. But the question, remember, is who is my neighbor that I have to love as I love myself? And Jesus answers that in a very strange way. Because he asks him after the story, he says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Who was a neighbor to the victim? The expert of the law replied, and by the way, he's doing a test right now too, so he's got to answer. The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him, or I suppose the one who had mercy on him. So who was the neighbor in here? It was the Good Samaritan. Because he had mercy. What's the definition of neighbor for Jesus? Somebody who has mercy. And if we're to love our neighbors ourselves, we're supposed to be the one who has mercy, feeling, compassion, care for somebody that's on a different border. No. For other human beings. Do they have to be a certain race? Do they have to be a certain gender? Do they have to be a certain IQ level? Do they have to be a certain socioeconomic level for you to have mercy on them? What's important is loving the Lord your God. And this thing is just, I'm so sorry, Michael. It's just going all over the world. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength, teaches you to love other humans. That's what he's saying. That's what's important. And that is the story of the Good Samaritan, except Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go and have mercy. And Jesus always had problems with the Pharisees, teachers of the law, and says, I want you to go home and I want you to look at this scripture. God requires mercy, not sacrifice. Because they just didn't get it. Their hearts wouldn't open to anybody except themselves. Then there's another story. In verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary. Okay, wait, Mary and Martha. We know Mary and Martha, don't we? Right? They had a brother too. Remember the brother's name? Lazarus. Where did you learn that? Not in the Synoptic Gospels. You learn that in the Gospel of John. What else was part of that story in John? Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick and he stayed away intentionally. Lazarus died. Mary and Martha were very upset. They were upset with Jesus for not being there. But Jesus comes and raises Lazarus from the dead. That's not in this book, not in Luke. But the timeline is right, because Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. But Luke doesn't mention that. But he tells this story about Mary and Martha, the sisters. It says here, she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to him. Listened to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." This wasn't even a test. There was a question there, "Don't you care?" But then there was also a command. Tell her to help me. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed or important. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, I got to admit, we've had a tendency to beat people up with this story. Preachers. I'm apologizing for all preachers, okay? Because, you know, it's important. I mean, somebody makes the meal, somebody cleans up after it. Doesn't have to be necessarily a woman in this situation. But those things happen. They have to happen. The question is, what is more important? Remember when you talked about don't rejoice because the demons answer to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. This is the important thing. And the whole thing about the Good Samaritan story, the important thing is that your love for God touches your heart and you have mercy on other people. That's the important thing. But here are two sisters that are having a conflict because one of them is just sitting and listening to Jesus. Remember that first song that we heard? "Open our eyes, Lord. Let me see. Let me know who Jesus is." You know, and it's possible. It's possible to be around church all your life and to be so busy and not know about Jesus. Isn't it? Yeah. It's not so much, I mean, you could be busy doing a lot of things. Not necessarily meal preparation. It could be anything. It could be taking care of the building. It could be counting money. It could be all kinds of things that need to be done. But the important thing is, do you know Jesus? Have you asked God to open your eyes so you can know Jesus? That's the important thing. Yeah, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to do what's important. What's really important for us. And he's reminding people on the way what's really important, because he doesn't have a whole lot of time left with them. And what's important for me is, do I know Jesus? Have I seen Jesus? Has Jesus made any difference in how I love other people? Do I have the same attitude as Jesus? Do I speak in the same tones as Jesus? That's the important thing. And when we come together on Sundays, we always take the Lord's Supper because we think this is important. We think this is a very unifying thing. But we can do that and completely miss Jesus in this. And you know how we know? Have we learned to love each other? Have we learned to care about each other? So this week, before we take Lord's Supper, we're going to listen to a different song for communion, different kind of communion song. And it's a hymn that I grew up with. I was surprised that a couple people when we worked on the projection booth didn't know this hymn. It's called "How Sweet, How Heavenly Is the Sight." And if you know it, you can sing it. The words are up there. But think in terms of what's important as we take the Lord's Supper.